Mr. and Mrs., how good does that sound, eh? Well, thank you so much for such a warm welcome. And for last night, for those of you that weren't there, it's an amazing evening. You know, I've done a number of fundraising events, but that was really good fun. You know, who shows that mission is really good? You know, we are blessed when we bless others. A fundamental fact. But thank you for all that were involved, the mission committee. I won't name you because I'm bound to miss out a name. But thank you. We are all in this together. I often say this, but we are in this together. We are all a part in this bigger plan of demonstrating God's love for those that are outcasts, that are marginalized in our society. And we really want to push through and give praise and honor to God. So thank you for that. And for any of you that weren't perhaps quite aware that your mission of the year this year is the leprosy mission. And the aim is to try and put one student, at least, through a vocational training college in India. Now, I'd like to challenge you that it be more than one student, but all being well from last night, we've definitely got one student. But this evening, I want to speak on restoration. Restoration of the outcast. And this is very much taken from Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. It is just one verse which says this: "But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you are called an outcast." Now, what do we know about an outcast? What do we understand by that meaning? Because an outcast is a person that's been left out. They've been rejected. They've been rejected by family, friends, community, everybody. It means untouchable, outsider, and basically just left out of everything. And you know, it only takes, or rather, it takes Jesus living in us and through us to reach out to people like that around us, whether it's in this country or across the world, and to bring them restoration, to change their circumstances, their health, their living conditions, their hope, their acceptance by their families, the whole holistic approach to restore self-respect and dignity. I just want to remind you, just very quickly in 2 minutes, about what leprosy is, how it affects people, the impact it has on society. Yes. This is going to work. We will then go into a very short 2 minute film.
Hi there. I wonder if I can have 2 minutes of your busy day today for my friend Arshad. Arshad has leprosy. That's right. Today, Arshad is living with leprosy. In fact, he's one of more than 200,000 people who are newly diagnosed each year. Arshad is feeling full of shame and sad because people in his community believe he is contagious and that he is cursed. And worse, he's feeling worthless because most people in the world believe that leprosy hasn't existed since ancient times. Arshad would like you to know more about his disease. Leprosy is a mildly infectious condition caused by a bacteria related to tuberculosis. 95% of us are naturally immune to it, but it's more common in countries where poverty is rife and people's immune systems are not strong. If left untreated, leprosy causes damage to large nerves in the hands and feet, so the patient simply doesn't feel it when they hurt themselves. These wounds, and the ulcers they often cause, can ultimately lead to permanent disability, amputation, and despair. Leprosy is also one of the world's most stigmatizing diseases. Whole families see their education, job, and marriage prospects affected by discrimination and misunderstanding, often being denied their basic human rights. Even if aware that they have leprosy, patients fear being diagnosed, so fail to seek treatment, perpetuating a vicious cycle of disease, disability, and discrimination. 3 million people in the world are living with irreversible disabilities caused by late treatment of leprosy, But since 1982, an effective cure has been available. None of this has to happen. Arshad has been receiving support from the Leprosy Mission for a while now. We're a global charity working to diagnose, treat, and rehabilitate those who are suffering from this dreadful disease. After medication cured Arshad of leprosy, surgery helped him to use his hands and feet again. Now he's studying at one of our training centres so he can get a job and sustain himself. And thanks to awareness raising in his community, people now know that those affected by leprosy should not be outcasts and have the same rights as anyone else. We don't just help cure leprosy. Our hope is for more people to be educated about the disease. Since you started watching this film, somewhere in the world, someone has been diagnosed with leprosy. Show your support by sharing this video. We can't turn back the clock, but we can stop it ticking on this silently destructive disease. Thanks for watching.
Now, the figures that are quoted in that film are really underestimated. Those are the official World Health Organization figures. But from reality, I would think you'd say that they're probably three times greater than that. It's nearer to 1 million people every year that we are currently seeing being diagnosed with leprosy. And that really should not be happening. 4,500 years this disease has been running. We should have conquered it by now. And in some respects, we have. But more of that, I guess, a little bit later. But going back to these words of Jeremiah's prophecy, they are indeed most relevant to millions of people suffering today with leprosy. The scripture reads, outcasts for whom no one cares. The leprosy sufferer is really symbolic of the ultimate outcast. Infected by a condition that he did not seek, rejected by those he knows, and avoided by people that he doesn't know, and condemned to a future that for many, they really struggle to bear. Now, there are plenty of people that we would choose perhaps to avoid in our daily lives for one reason or another. And on many occasions, it's something beyond their control. It's about our own way that we look upon people and upon life. It might be the colour of their skin. It might be their height or their shortness or their shape, which society tells us isn't the perfect shape. For whatever reason, we often do shun people. And we kind of quarantine them, just like someone with leprosy. But that's not right. That's not what God demonstrates and shares with us. So let's just have a look at how does Jesus react to someone that we would perhaps call an outcast. In Matthew chapter 8 and verses 1 to 4, or even 1 to 3, let's do 1 to 3. Let me read this. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. I am willing, be clean, he said. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Now let's just look and see at this example because it is really, really crucial. First point. Firstly, we learn that Jesus took the risk of touching the need. Now, we have to remember that in those days, people's understanding was very different. Their understanding was that leprosy was a skin disease, that you could catch it from just touch, when in fact we know that's not the case. It travels through the air, it's breathed out and it's breathed in. It's a bacterial disease. But in those days, the people would have seen this and they would have gasped in horror as they saw Jesus touch this man with leprosy. They would have shouted, Jesus, what are you doing? You're making yourself unclean and you may even catch this disease as well. But Jesus was only concerned for the man. It was the person. He just disregarded the disease. And this touch of Jesus was probably the first touch from a clean person that this man had had since he'd been diagnosed. And all of a sudden, he realized that he was accepted. He was accepted again. Jesus' touch cured his disease, but much, much more than that. It cured his loneliness, the stigma that was surrounding him. He was no longer the outcast. Touch is so powerful. God designed it that way. That loving touch of one human being to another. Whether we're just feeling down and just need a cuddle, or we're feeling lonely on our own. But used the right way, that touch is so, so powerful and so special. And we know, like many good things that God has created and designed, some people will use it badly. But touch is powerful, very powerful. And in this case, it has such a powerful way of making you feel included, wanted, loved again. And here is Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God. That's not an easy phrase to say. The perfectly sinless Son of God, intentionally touching this person full of disease. But secondly, we see that Jesus speaks words of compassion. He said, "I am willing, be clean." Now, these are not just words of pity, they are words of compassion. And compassion is a word of action. You feel something and therefore you do something about it. That is true compassion. Do you know, we can't always speak out words of healing. We don't control the healing. It is God's healing by his Spirit through us. We may lay hands on someone and pray that God will heal them, but it's in his time. But we can always pray a blessing upon someone. We can show that there is love for them. We can demonstrate our compassion to people. And it's really important to see that Jesus demonstrates the words that he speaks. He speaks words of compassion and he demonstrates it. And thirdly, we see that Jesus saw the person, not the disease. He saw the person behind the need. It was almost as though Jesus didn't see that there was a problem there at all. He didn't really see that. He just saw a man in need. And his instinctive reaction, as we see in many, many accounts through the Gospels, of just reaching out, touching, healing. It's as instant as that. Now, I don't think he necessarily saw a disease needing to be cured, although that in itself would have been great in itself. Jesus saw a person created in his own image, a person for whom God had plans, a person like you and me, with potential and gifts to contribute to society and to those around us and our families and friends. A person with potential to do great things. A person that he would die for. Jesus saw way beyond what was on the outside and looks into the heart. And then finally, we see here that Jesus didn't take the glory for himself. He didn't take the praise. He didn't say, "Oh, thank you, another great miracle." No, he redirected all that glory back to the Father, back to God. Because he says to him, "Don't go and tell anybody, go to the priest." And I wonder if you've wondered why he did that. Why did he direct him to the priest? But that is what they would have done in those days. That was the rightful way to do it. He would have directed him to the priest, he would have presented himself to the priest, and the local priest would have known, surely, this is the man that suffers from leprosy. He's changed. He's completely different. And the priests would have recognized that it's only God that can heal. And therefore, he would have given praise and honor to God. And that's what Jesus was seeking. So let us ensure that we give thanks to the Father for the blessings that we receive, and that we don't take that glory, which is so easy to take at times, when God is working powerfully through us. Let's deflect that back to the Father. So we see from this account that Jesus firstly sought to touch, to demonstrate his compassion and healing. He spoke words to explain what he had done and what he saw through his loving eyes. And then he directed the glory back to God. That sounds, in principle, very easy. But in reality, that's not so easy. Last year, Liz joined me in a trip to India. And we went round and saw many of our hospitals, of our units, of our training centres, of a media centre in Delhi. And as we met many, many people through all these, we tried to fulfil that example of reaching out and touching, looking people in the eye. Maybe it's just a hand on a shoulder, and sometimes it's taking a hand and just demonstrating that love and praying a blessing over them. And you cannot imagine how powerful that really is, because that blessing that you direct comes back tenfold. It really does. So whether it was a patient in one of our hospitals, or maybe someone that was in a leprosy colony, or in an adult training center, or one of our mercy homes for the elderly, or even on the operating table, of which I witnessed, we try to reach out and touch and demonstrate that love of God. It's an amazing experience, I have to say. And whether or not some of you are aware of it or not, later on this year, in October, I'm going out again and I'm taking out a group, mainly of volunteer local speakers for the region that I look after. But for three churches, I've chosen to take a representative as well, where you are supporting a particular project that we're actually going to see. So Andy is going to be joining me to represent Eastleigh Baptist Church and two other churches as well. So please pray for Andy. It's fair to say you're a bit nervous at the moment. And that's understandable. I've only worked for the mission for 2 years, and we went out last year. I was a bit nervous. But don't worry, I've gone there before you. I've adjusted the plan. We'll be there to look after you. But that's going to be a great experience. So please do pray for Andy and all the preparation for that trip. But you know, India is an amazing country. It has a population of 1.2 billion people. Now, if you think of the UK, we've got a population of about 70 million. So we're 70 million and they're 1.2 billion, which is 1,200 million. Okay, get our heads around all those figures. Richard would do it in his sleep, can't you, Richard? But of that 1.2 billion, 500,000 live in poverty. That's less than a pound a day. That's incredible. But when you experience the people there, they're not complaining most of the time. They accept their place. They expect their place within the caste system of India. They have four levels of caste which you are born into. And if you're in that very, very low caste, there's not a lot of opportunity for you. But they accept and seem to know that's their place, which is a very gracious way to be. Maybe that's something that we could learn about in this country too. However, the reality of people living in India and in many other countries around the world is of rejection and exclusion because of this disease. These women here have come together in this leprosy colony just to share, really, in their weakness, because everybody else has rejected them. Many of these people had leprosy long before there was a cure. The cure came in 1982, so they have suffered from physical disabilities in quite a bad way. And the only way they can really look after themselves is to join together and to care for each other. Some will be able to do some cooking, others maybe do a bit of cleaning, but for some, they can't. Their hands are just so physically disabled because of the leprosy, or their feet, and they can't walk, that they rely on the others around them to look after them. But you know, the Son of God came to restore man and restore our brokenness to his intended purpose, to be a temple of his Holy Spirit, a place of communion between himself and us and his creation. Restoring our broken lives is God's number one priority. Throughout time, that has been God's priority, to restore that relationship with his created people. And maybe somebody needs to hear that this evening. Maybe you don't feel loved. Maybe you don't feel unique and wonderful in God's love. He created us all in his image, individuals, unique, with a plan and a purpose, and with skills and potential to be used, to live life to the max. Let's live up to that. Let's draw on that power that Jesus gives us through his Spirit. Leprosy is a cruel disease. There's no doubt about it. It is a very cruel disease, and it's feared tremendously. And this is what the stigma is. The fear of leprosy prevents people so often from coming early for diagnosis and for healing. And just as back in those times that we read about in the Bible, when people were fearful of touch, in many countries that is still the case. India in particular. Because of their Hindu faith and this belief in reincarnation, what they believe is that leprosy is just a curse. It's not a disease to be cured. It's as a result of a sin or something they've done in a past life or in earlier in this current life. And therefore, why would they seek healing? It is a curse. And I think this also kind of answers partly the question that I also have from this reading when we were looking back in Matthew. And the man asked not to be healed. He asked to be made clean. Now, you and I would say, heal me, Jesus. Heal me from this disease. But no, he asked to be made clean. And this goes to their understanding of this curse that they had. And therefore, the belief was that if they can be released from this curse, then yes, they'll be healed as well. So leprosy is a very cruel disease. It robs people of their individuality, of their education, of their parenting sometimes, marriage prospects, relationships, work, everything. But our action is how we demonstrate God's love. As a mission society, we've been around for 141 years, and going from the early stages of just care, we've gone beyond and done much, much more. Restoring by that touch of cure nowadays is the first thing. Since 1982, we've had this cure. It's very, very simple. Three very cheap antibiotic drugs. The red blister pack is for an adult, the yellow one for a child. That's a month's supply of these antibiotics. They are so cheap that Novartis, the drugs company, give them to us free of charge. But clearly we still need hospitals and doctors and nurses. But the average cost across the world to produce, or rather to bring a cure to these people, is about £24. That's all it costs to cure somebody of leprosy. But going on from the cure, we need to do surgery for many, many people to restore where the leprosy has clogged up the nerves and it blocks the brain waves going through to the muscles, and therefore hands begin to claw and lose their strength and power and dexterity, and feet lose the ability to be able to lift them up so you can walk normally, and for eyelids to be able to shut and protect the eye. And we're able to do this reconstructive surgery that can restore that, even many years after they've had their problems. And here you're seeing this young lad, Daniel, having had the operation on his hand. Initially, it's put into a plaster for about 3 weeks to just to bond together again as they've connected fresh tendons in his fingers and his hand. And now they're just slowly stretching it daily, giving him this physio to get that use back again of his hand. And then to the eyes. Without this operation, many people would get an infection because they'll let grit into their eyes, and ultimately blindness would follow. But this operation takes a muscle from around about the hairline, depending where yours is and if it's not moving, and they replace the one that operates the eyelids. And it's an extraordinary thing. I saw this woman and I could not see where there was any kind of mark or a scar. And she's now able to close that. It's her left eye that's the closest one to you. She's able to close that eye and protect it and save her sight. But more than just that sort of physical restoration of the bodies, we also provide an outreach to society. This particular one was in Calcutta. And I'm sure many of you will be aware of what the city of Calcutta is. It's a huge city. There's tremendous poverty in that city. But they go out and they speak to schools and communities and educate and tell them that leprosy is just a curable disease. That's all it is. It's not something to be feared and be afraid of. And come if you have any concerns or doubts whether or not you've got it, and we can cure you. And that was a very interesting day, actually, because we were approached to make the presentation to these children. These children from these sort of schools that had done really well during the year, and they've been encouraged to work. And we were presenting them with these little backpacks, and they were so thrilled to have this little gift. In monetary terms, it's so small, but it was the demonstration of acknowledging what they were doing in their own communities to sharing the word. But I also want to just to tell you about this young lady. She is an extraordinary lady. She's very feisty, it has to be said. And the doctors and nurses, I think, are a little bit in fear of her because she's got real spirit. But she's 35 now. Leprosy has affected her hands and her feet, and you can see her hands there is, you know, it's all twisted. And she's had to have one of her legs amputated because of fear of the disease going through her whole body, and clearly that can lead to death. So she seriously suffered. But one of the things that she suffered from most is the mental scars of the thought that she's never going to get to meet anyone that would marry her, to have family, to have children. Most of us don't even consider that could be a possibility. And for her, unlike many, many that we actually met last year, it drives them to suicide. Their expectation of life is nil, absolutely nil. So please, please pray for so many when they first find out that they've got this disease, that they work it through, that someone comes alongside them, that they direct them to one of our mission hospitals, and that they are healed and restored. But there's a better ending to her story. Because just like the student that you're going to put through Bankura Vocational Training Centre, that's where Lackey went. And she learnt sewing and tapestry and tailoring. And having done her 1-year course, She passed her nationally recognized examination, and she was qualified to do that. She could have gone and get a job anywhere, but she chose to take her wonderful Singer sewing machine and come back to the Mercy Home, this hospital at Purulia, because that's where she felt safe and secure. And because of losing her leg, that's where her confidence was in staying, really just like under the wing of one of our hospitals. But the difference was transformational. The work that she then produces is beautiful. That little tablecloth that's being held up there was one that we bought from her. And the detail is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Now, she's been in the past, before she had her artificial limb, a prosthetic limb given to her, she used to shuffle around on a little tray with wheels, which actually was quite dangerous because she used to whiz around the hospital on this and with attitude as well. But fortunately, they've now given her artificial leg. But somehow, it seems she only likes to use it for special occasions, when she's going to the chapel on a Sunday or maybe in the morning for prayers. But it does take a long time, and she demonstrated how long it takes to actually get into this. But nevertheless, it gives her the ability to now stand up straight and look people in the eye. And compared to just shuffling around on the floor, it gives her a dignity back. And now the fact that she can produce goods that people want to buy, it's not about the income that she gets. Again, it's the self-respect and dignity. And that's just one person. And that's the sort of change that you are going to give in putting a student through this college. So she sells her tablecloths and napkins. It is pocket money, but that's only the small part of it, really. She's got hope for her future. And she's delighted, it has to be said. Now, time has really gone on, so I'm just going to have to whiz past some of the pictures that you would have seen last night if the sun wasn't shining on the screen. But these are some of the courses that go on, diesel mechanic courses, which are great for blokes, it has to be said. The IT and computing, which looks like they're on dinosaurs, but that's been changed. They've now got new computers there. And the tailoring and sewing courses. The detail of the work they learn is absolutely amazing. It really, really is. And this was an example of some of the different stitches in that whole book portfolio, is all the different stitches that they get trained to use. So through the year, we have about 140 students go through this college, and they come out at the end with this qualification, assuming that they pass, and very most of them do. And they're virtually guaranteed employment because of the desire that they show to work. They are so thrilled at the opportunity that has been given to them, that the local employers know about it, and they virtually guarantee they will take anyone that qualifies out of this college. And the same as can be said around the world at many of our other hospitals. And our training centres, I mean. But here, just to finish, is the chapel for this college. It's a beautiful chapel, but all of our hospitals and our training centres have them, and every morning the staff and the students and patients are invited to come and pray. It's a beautiful, beautiful time. We sang familiar hymns, but in Hindi. It's an extraordinary experience, but the Spirit was there. It binds us together. It's a beautiful experience. But hear the words of the Lord. I will restore you to health and heal. Oh my goodness, there's a spelling mistake. I will heal your wounds, declares the Lord. I'm moving on from there. But I do believe, and I do feel very passionate, that it is the church's mission in these days to eradicate this disease. It's easily within our grasp, but political reasons prevent it in many, many countries. We work in 32 countries globally. We have a cure. We're testing a vaccination. There's so many ways that we can have an impact, but we need that political effort as well. We need countries to put aside their own concerns about tourism and trade and business and commercialism to accept they've got something that needs to be eradicated. And for those of you that are familiar with the Millennium Development Goals that we started in 2000 through to last year, there was nothing in there about disability. But the new ones that started from this year have. We have got disability in there. And we are sort of included in within one section of neglected tropical diseases. There are 17 NTDs, as they're known as, and leprosy is one of them. So this will bring it to governments, to health departments. Let's pray that they really work to these guidelines to really get rid of leprosy. We can do it. We need to pray for that. So let us restore the outcast. We can heal. We can restore physically. We can transform lives. And we need to change minds and mental attitudes as well. Let us pray. Father God, who is the giver of life and health, we pray that you will look mercifully on those who suffer from leprosy. Stretch out your hand to touch and heal them as Jesus did. And grant wisdom and insight to those who are seeking the prevention and cure of this disease. Give skill and sympathy to those who minister to the patients. Reunite the separated with their family and friends. And Father, I pray that you will inspire people with the task set before the leprosy mission, that we may never lack enough staff or the means to carry on this healing work in accordance with your will and to the glory of your holy name. And we ask this for the name of Jesus. Amen.